Right, first conversation up on PM Drive this Monday. Motivation, it's part of our motivation. We made reference to the Gaza journalist that was killed by the occupation forces over the past weekend, along with his Al Jazeera colleagues. The spirit that they had, the capacity to resist, that resistance will continue. So another aspect relating to our motivation is a special guest in studio. We mentioned it at the start. Miguel Masasai, a cyclist pedaling for peace and unity, hailing all the way from DRC Congo. How many times have we not spoken about DRC Congo and the conflict with the M23 rebels backed by the Rwandan government? So honoring Women's Month, and as we know, the war-torn and war-stricken significant loss of innocent lives, particularly women and children. Let's find out more. He's here in studio with us right now. Miguel, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Good afternoon.
Very interesting journey, focusing on peddling for peace. So I think before we talk about the campaign, you certainly do come across as a fit person. So cycling would essentially mean that this has been part of your personal journey, perhaps for a number of years. So what motivated and inspired you to firstly focus on cycling before we get to the campaign?
The thing that motivated me is the pain that we live there in Congo. And I said, no, we cannot be silent. I have to do something that is big to show the world the pain that we have. And I see, I'm a sportsman. Mm. I don't have another arm. I have my bike and my legs. I said, I can use this one to do and to put up my voice for peace in my country.
Mm. Certainly a very beautiful country, a very rich country, natural resources.
Yeah.
Coltan, cobalt, gold. Yes, and hence the reason behind the conflict primarily. But okay, that aside, so focusing then on using cycling to raise awareness with what has been happening in your country for many, many years. How did you arrive at the decision? I'm going to start with this campaign, Peddling for Peace and Unity. This is what I'm going to do. How long did it take you to plan all of this?
Almost 1 year.
Wow.
1 year to prepare it. You know, to go 200 kilometers is not easy. Hmm. To ride every day 200, 150, 150, 200, I had to be ready for all of that. And it took me 1 year.
To prepare?
To prepare.
So you are ready as we speak? You ready?
Yeah, I was ready after 1 year. You know, I have to also to prepare for visa.
Yes.
I cannot cross all of those countries without a document. Yeah. I have to be with paper to prepare my papers.
Yes.
To go and to start the journey and other thing to prepare the road, my road. Because the road that I crossed, I didn't know any places. Yeah, I have to be ready to prepare to do it. Yeah, it took me so many times. Even I didn't sleep all of that all of the time, the night. Yeah, without to sleep, just to be ready to see if I will be ready to do it. Because it was a big thing, and I say, I have to be ready. I have to show the world the situation in my country. Yeah.
Talk to us about the distance and exactly what went through your mind. So you're doing the conclusion of the race here in Cape Town. You're finishing here?
Yes.
Okay. Doing approximately 150 to 200 kilometers every single day. That is very strenuous. So you need to be prepared physically, mentally. Emotionally,
yep.
Psychologically, and definitely you require support.
Yeah.
You know, for this, where did that support come from?
Yeah, when I start, so many people, they didn't believe. In Congo, they said there is no road that can take you to Cape Town. It's impossible to do it. I contact so many people, so many companies. They said it's impossible. Hmm. There is so many danger. Like Aikrots Park, National Park. Hmm. They said it's impossible for you to go there. There is so many challenge. The trek, so many. They said no, it's impossible to do it. And many, they refused to support. And I said, I cannot give up. I do it for a long time. So I cannot, today I'm ready 1 year to prepare this thing. So I cannot give up. I will do it even without any resources, without any sponsorship. I will do it. And it will be an inspiration to the other people, to the young people. If you have a goal, you cannot wait for a big support or a big investment to follow your dream. I said, no, I will do it. Even without anything, I will do it. I'm ready physically. I'm ready mentally. I'm ready spiritually. Because you have to pray.
Yes.
You cannot cross. You have to pray. You have to be ready. Hmm. I'm ready for all of those things. The thing that I do is the sponsorship. I said, no, I cannot. If no sponsorship, I'm ready for my body. My bike is already here. Hmm. I will go even without any support. And when I start along the road, all those countries, people help me. They help me with a place to sleep, with food. I didn't pay even, example, in Botswana. I didn't pay even a place to sleep there. I didn't pay for the food. They helped me with food, place to sleep, all the town where I crossed, they helped me. And I follow my dream. Today I'm here in Cape Town. I achieve my goal. Yeah.
That is amazing. Now, Miguel, talk to us about the route that you took.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Rwanda, that is just outside of the SADC region. So you then traveled from Rwanda.
Yeah.
And then which countries did you cross into? Which borders were you taking?
Yeah.
Were you coming into Zambia, then Zimbabwe, then Botswana? Talk to us about that route, please.
I start my journey in Goma, the eastern part of Republic Democratic of Congo.
Mm.
The first stage was from Goma to Kigali. Is 150 kilometers. It was the day one of the journey. Day two, I do from Kigali to Rusumo. Rusumo is the border between Rwanda and Tanzania. After Rusumo, I continue Rusumo, Kahama, Tabora, Mbeya. Then when I arrived in Mbeya, I was close to the Zambian border, Nakonde border. Then when I enter Nakonde, I continue Isoka, Kapirimposhi, Serenje. I follow my road to Lusaka. When I arrived in Lusaka, I didn't go to Zimbabwe because they said Zimbabwe with security, something like that. I said, no. I don't have a team supporter, so I have to go to Botswana. Then I did from Lusaka to Livingstone. Then after Livingstone, I take my road to Kazungula, the border between Botswana and Zambia. After I start my journey in Botswana is from Kazungula to Panda Matenga to Nata, Nata to Francistown to Palape to Pilane to Gaborone. When I arrived in Gaborone, I take the Tokwenge border. After Tokwenge border, I go to Zirast, Rustenburg, Pretoria. Pretoria, Johannesburg, Rustenburg. After Colesberg, then I take my road to Bloemfontein. Bloemfontein, I continue the road. Then, now, today I'm here. Bloemfontein, Beaufort West, Langsberg, Vuster, Pal, then Today I'm here, Cape Town.
Absolutely inspiring.
Yeah.
You're on a Monday on the show. The theme of the show is Monday Motivation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On PM Drive. So you are part of our motivation. The fact that you cycled all the way from Rwanda into South Africa, into Cape Town. How long did all of that take?
I left Goma on 17th of May. I can say 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah, 3 months. Pedaling every day, 3 months.
And you were doing on average 150, 200 kilometers every day?
200 when I was in Botswana and some part of Zambia, because it's flat. You know, when it's flat, I can go far. So, like in South Africa, some part in Zambia, Tanzania, Rwanda. Rwanda is very, very hilly. So, I cannot go to 200 because I have to have a time to rest. Yeah, I calculate like with 150, I can arrive like at 3 p.m. I will have a time to talk with people, because it's not only to pedal.
Yes.
It's not only to go. Mm. I have to talk with people to give them to give them my message that I carry. The only message I carry is the message of peace and unity here in Africa. So when I arrived, like at 3 p.m., I took a time to talk with some young people. After talking with young people, I look for a place where I will sleep. You know, it's very hard. My manager, everything. When I arrived, I have to talk with people. After talking with people, I have to look for a place to sleep. After looking for a place to sleep, I have to look for a food. After to look for a food, I have to do an update to my social media. You know, all of that thing, I have to do it in one time. So it's very difficult to me. Even to rest was very difficult. So I didn't give up because I knew why I'm doing that thing. I took all of that risk. Like in Botswana, I did 200 kilometers from Panamatenga to Nata. 200 kilometers. No place, no village where I can stop. Only the park and dangerous animals.
Mm.
I take even some videos. 14 elephants crossing the border. In front of me like that. So I say, wow, what is this?
Mm.
You know, it's the hardest day of my journey. Sure, Botswana is well secure, but with the animals, I said, I don't have anything to do. I cannot take even a car. I don't have that resources, you know. That's why I said, I have to go 200 kilometers. No water, no team supporter, nothing. So I have just to go. My heart was not stable. Anytime I was in hurry to go out of that game bush. Oh, anytime in hurry, I use a lot of energy, and you know, is the difficult day. I don't know how I can qualify it, but it's the hardest day of the journey.
An incredible, absolutely incredible journey. Miguel Masasai, cyclist pedaling for peace and unity. He cycled all the way from DRC Congo into South Africa, coming into Cape Town. He left on the 17th of May. We now, what is our date today, Felix? The 11th of August. He has arrived at the southernmost tip of Africa. What a journey. What inspiration. Absolutely amazing. Now, Miguel, you come from the DRC, a famine-stricken, war-stricken country where there is huge conflict, people and massive conglomerates interested in the natural resources of your country as a result of this conflict. It's a genocide in the DRC Congo. We talk about it a lot in PM Drive. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people have been displaced. Women, children, elderly people, tens of thousands have been killed. Innocent civilians from the DRC Congo. So considering the backdrop and what conditions are like in your country. You undertook to take this journey from Rwanda to South Africa. We are having this conversation now in Cape Town. Essentially, you are classified as one of the young heroes on this African continent. So, as you were cycling every day, I'm sure you were thinking about your beloved country, what has been happening in DRC Congo. The amount of awareness that you are raising through this cycle, it's just immense. I'm at a loss for words, but in summary, what message do you have, as we conclude, for Africans on our continent? What message do you have for your people back home in DRC Congo?
My message is, Africa, we have to be united. If you are unity, if you are, we are one, we cannot have conflict. We cannot have war. We can have peace if we are united. So if we are not united, we cannot have peace. I think for us people, normal people, we are good, because I cross in Rwanda. I cannot say in Rwanda they treat me like a stranger.